WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. More details are emerging in the alleged U.S. Embassy bombing attempt in Tel Aviv. ABC's Stephanie Ramos tells us the suspect, Joseph Neumeier, a U.S.-German dual national, was there for weeks before the arrest.
Authorities say Neumeier arrived in Israel in April. He was deported to the U.S. and arrested by the FBI at JFK Airport this weekend. If convicted, he faces up to 20 years in prison.
A sixth inmate has now been captured in that brazen New Orleans jailbreak. 10 men escaping more than a week ago. 9 people have now been charged in connection with the escape. ABC's Trevor Ault.
Police in New Orleans releasing video taking 4 people into custody, one of them accused of assisting 2 escapees. An inmate, Trayvon Williams, is also accused of supplying a blanket and a shirt to help the escapees climb over the facility's razor wire fencing. The arrest warrant saying he entered the cell where the escapees had left the message, "Too easy."
This is ABC News. As millions of Americans fly for the Memorial Day weekend, some U.S.-bound flights experienced unruly passengers while in the air.
An All-Nippon Airways, or ANA, flight was heading from Tokyo to Houston when the crew reported a passenger suffering a medical crisis tried to open a door while in flight, so the plane diverted to Seattle. That passenger was taken to a hospital in Seattle to be evaluated. But separately, a second passenger was removed from the same flight for unruly behavior before the plane took off again for Houston. After both passengers were removed, the plane flew on to Texas. Alex Stone, ABC News.
An Oregon man who quit his job and liquidated his retirement savings to sail to Hawaii with his cat reached the islands over the weekend, ending a weeks-long journey documented for millions on social media. Oliver Whitaker was greeted by Hawaii's governor and says he doesn't regret the decision, saying he's glad to have given people the chance to see what you can do when you break out of your routine. Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A big win at home for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers held on to a 3-2 win over the Boston Red Sox. Things got started early. Jackson Churio in the leadoff spot, bottom of the first. And the first pitch to him on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Swing and a drive!
Churio's first ever career leadoff home run and the first this season for the crew. Did that set the tone? Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it always sets a tone when you come out ready and the first hitter that you have kind of makes a statement.
And D.L. Hall making his first appearance since coming off the IL. Closer Trevor McGill on getting the win before a sold-out crowd of over 40,000.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stadium gets rocking when there's, you know, a bunch of people in it, and definitely felt that today. Thank you for the fans for coming out today.
That's the Brewers' Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All 4 cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Cloudy tomorrow with a few showers, even some thunder, highs to the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Wednesday, high upper 60s. Heat returns to the area for the rest of the upcoming week. Currently at 68.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Indigenous. Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi Weed, all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, native issues are human issues and human issues are native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Yes, we are. Hey, a big shout out to all my relations arts and the Native American Community Development Institute last night for their opening creation story. I happened to make it there and got to hear the artist speak and see some great art. Please stop by. It's a beautiful, beautiful exhibit. I almost said exhibition, but exhibit.
Exhibition. Yeah, I think this looks like a fun one. I know I think I saw Marlena Miles was out there with Michaela Patton, Jada Great Eagle, Kylie Wanity Thunderhawk for that curator's talk last night. Thanks everyone who goes and supports all my relations arts and their exhibits. We're big fans of NACTI, and you can check out the art gallery, which is at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Right. And it's this exhibit is open from May 8th to, I believe, July, right?
July 26th.
Yeah. So, July 26th. So we have time for you to get out there, but please do get out there. Hey, just got to give a quick shout out. As you're hearing us right now, we are on the verge of starting to walk our Ho-Chunk 5K. And just a shout out to everybody that's brought their transistor radio along or their cell phone and then listening to the show live.
I want to shout out Ho-Chunk Nation, St. Paul's Learning Youth Learning Center, and the Ho-Chunk Nation for putting on this 5K. I can't believe 14 years we've been doing this. In St. Paul.
I was young when this started.
You were running and now you're walking.
never ran. But I got to give a shout out to our cousin, Dallas and his wife have run this event and pretty cool to see.
I did reach out to Dallas. Shout out to our cousin Dallas. He's going to be with his son at a baseball game tonight. So good luck to that baseball team. Hope you guys get the win. A beautiful day for a walk, a run, and baseball.
Oh, totally baseball. We love baseball. Hey, we got Mother's Day coming up here and I got to quickly, when we're done talking here, send some flowers to my nanny out in Tennessee. Thanks for the reminder, but there's a powwow. The Little Earth Residents Association is having their annual Mother's Day powwow Saturday, so the day before Mother's Day, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Yes, I think doors might open around noon, but that 1 p.m. is the first grand entry time, and then of course at 7 again. I want to shout out. Did you
mean the Creator Doors? Because it's an outdoor powwow. So the Creator's Doors.
Oh, is theirs outside?
Yeah.
I guess that goes to show. I have not been there. Yeah. Well, we love you, Little Earth Residents Association, and thank you for putting that on for all of the mothers out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wanted to go back. I want to save the date. We have the Four Sisters Farmers Market coming up. It's starting back up in June 5th, to be exact. It's every Thursday. It runs through pretty much the whole summer from 11 to 3 p.m. Again, that'll be at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. It's the shared building with Powwow Grounds, Native American Community Development Institute, and All My Relations Arts Gallery.
That's awesome. We love to go hang out, and we see all different kinds of relatives that we don't see that we're hibernating during the winter.
Yeah.
So we get to see them face to face there, and it's always a good time, and always different things going on there. And of course, there's vendors there too. So
tons of vendors.
Yeah, if you need something,
Great produce selections. I know that they also accept SNAP and EBT. Different types of payment options, which is great. What else is going on? There's always Dream of Wild Health is usually there. We have Native artist vendors selling their goods. Edible art comes to mind with
Simone. Oh, yeah. We got to get her on again. Plus, we have a Ho-Chunk relative that runs the whole market, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to our friend Destiny.
Yes.
That you do for Four Sisters and the Food Sovereignty Program with NACTI.
Right on. And she's been, not to talk about her, but she's been really digging deep into the language. I just ran into her at one of the snow snake. And that's so hard to say still.
It snow still snake. Is, yeah.
events. And she was there whipping down the snake down the icy path. What? And had a chance to talk to her. And nice. She's been going Wednesday nights to the language and really learning the language. And I think Jim Funmaker walked by me one time and said, "Why aren't you going to language?" And then she was like right behind him going, "Yeah."
I know. Whoa. I know. We got to get there. I love using my Ho-Chunk language dictionary app. I've been using that a lot too. Just when I can't get to language and stuff. I want to shout out to this Saturday, May 10th, the Anishinaabe Student Council is doing a car wash fundraiser from 11 to 2 p.m. It's going to be in the back parking lot there in Minneapolis, 3100 East 28th Street. It's going to be $10 for the cost of that fundraiser. If you got a dirty car, especially bring that. Otherwise, if you're looking to just help out with the fundraiser, it'd be nice to get your car wash in time for the weekend and Mother's Day.
Get those bugs off. And, you know, the old saying that I heard a long time ago was when it comes to birds and cars, for some they sing and for others they, and then you can fill in the blank what they do to your car.
I don't know.
Haven't you ever had bird poop on your car?
I have.
Yes. For some they sing and for others they, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, when we see each other today, I'll explain it to you.
Okay.
I'm a little off. So again, we're doing our own hacks here right now.
Hey. Well, I hope everyone out there listening is having a good Friday so far, and they're looking forward to the weekend. It looks like it'll be beautiful weather. With Mother's Day coming up, I want to shout out to American Indian Family Center here in St. Paul. They just had their open house earlier today. Hope that was awesome. But they are doing something tomorrow, Saturday, May 10th from 10 a.m. to 12. This is for it's a youth workshop, and it's open to youth ages 14 to 24. You're going to be learning how to make a nice breakfast for your mom or grandma this upcoming Mother's Day, which will be the following day. You can take some skills with you to make a delicious breakfast. Also share the love, and you can make a beautiful Mother's Day card with American Indian Family Center. It's going to be at the American Indian Family Center at 579 Wells Street, St. Paul. Again, tomorrow, Saturday, May 10th from 10 a.m. to noon. I hope to see you there.
There's something happening like May 17th, kind of out your way at the Bellwin Conservancy in Afton.
Oh,
that's a pipe ceremony to welcome the bison.
Oh yeah, the Bison are going to be coming back. I'm trying to find that in my notes here, but yeah, they welcome the Bison back every spring, and they're going to be doing that. It's going to be open to community. I think there might be like a light feast or something going on, but looking forward to that.
Feast will be provided, so I kind of think of heavy one, not light one. Oh wow!
Well, I'm excited for that. I'll definitely be there. You mentioned Afton, the Bellwind Conservancy, and yeah. I know full moon ceremonies will be happening next week. AIFC, the Family Center, will be hosting theirs on Monday at the Bellwind Conservancy Center.
Yeah, and we'll see everyone on American Indian Day on the Hill at the Minnesota Capitol May 19th at 9:30 a.m. and we'll be there. And I know you'll have your ribbon skirt on, and maybe I'll pull out the ribbon shirt. I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah, the red one. Oh, yeah.
Up next, we got State Senator Mary Kunish.
Yeah, right on with her weekly update. And then later on, we'll be having a conversation with Wendy Pilot and her Sacred Animals. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a to-go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
At Metro State University, students learn from expert instructors in high-demand degree programs like healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, teaching, and business. As one of Minnesota's most diverse universities, Metro State is dedicated to providing a welcoming environment for all students. Explore 60-plus bachelor's programs at their May 29th open house in St. Paul. Learn about how free tuition is possible for eligible students through the North Star Promise Scholarship. Visit metrostate.edu/openhouse. Know your power. Metro State University.
Everyone knows I love Rudy Luther Toyota, but do you know who else loves Toyotas? Consumer Reports. They're out with their best of 2025 auto issue, and once again, it reads Toyota, Toyota, Toyota. Of the new 2025 models, Consumer Reports recommends the Prius, Corolla, Corolla Hybrid, the Camry, the Sienna, the Corolla Cross Hybrid, the RAV4 Hybrid, the Highlander, and the Highlander Hybrid. In almost every class, you'll find a Toyota. Find one for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The Council on LGBTQIA2S+ Minnesotans is conducting a community need survey. Two-Spirit and Native queer voices are sacred and must be heard. Your experiences will guide programs and policies that support our relatives across Minnesota. The survey is confidential and available at mnqt.info/survey. The deadline is May 31st. Honor your story. Help build the future we deserve.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we have our friend State Senator Mary Kunish on, as we do every Friday, and we're really grateful and blessed to have her on and kind of explain what's going on here politically in Minnesota, but also nationally, and also just kind of talk about, you know, how this affects our Native community too as a whole. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Welcome, State Senator, and thank you again for spending some time with us.
Yeah, hamatake api, everybody. It's good to be here and to see all of you, too. This is my office. I'm at the state capitol today working, and you can see the capitol in the background and some of the lovely items that folks have gifted me to adorn my walls here at the capitol. So, yeah, it's a beautiful day in Minnesota.
Yes, it is, definitely. Hey, we got a lot going on here. We're winding down the session, hopefully. And where are we at, and how are things going?
Sure. Here in Minnesota, we actually have until May 19th to get our work done. And that means putting together a budget. And I've been working hard on the education budget I'm the chair of education finance here in the Minnesota Senate. We're kind of being held back a little bit from finishing up because our House counterparts have not presented their full education finance bill. And so until we have their bill, we can't move forward because the Senate puts together their bill, the House puts together their bill. We bring them together, look at what we can agree on, what's similar that we can work out, what are the things that we don't agree on at all, and try to negotiate that. But our responsibility is to put together a budget for public education here in Minnesota by the 19th. And so I'm hoping that we'll get that done. Other committees, their bills are being heard on the, you know, in the House and in the Senate on the floor. And then we need to go to conference committee. And that's where we sort of iron out all the differences and come to agreements. I'm hoping that we will complete all of the work that we need to do by that May 19th deadline. If not, we'll be back for some special sessions.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of things happening, and the omnibus bill too is lurking too there somewhere, correct?
Yep, we have to put together our final education omnibus bill, and that's where you take all the individual bills and put it into one big bill and then pass it all as a bill, one bill rather than individual ones. We're a part-time legislature. We don't have the time to, do these individual bills. And so it really comes down to making sure that, you know, we've put together a good packet of bills, both policy and finance.
So there's no line item sort of veto when it comes to omnibus. It's either all or nothing.
No, because on the floor there are opportunities to make amendments. At this point, but at the end of the day, getting that one bill through is the way to do it.
So the first time around, you presented the MMIR bill, and it didn't pass. Is that correct? And then the second time, it was in the omnibus. I'm trying to remember how that process went.
So actually, the first time we had a hearing, I was a state representative in the Minnesota House. Yeah. And I was not getting a hearing on the bill. You have to have that hearing on the bill. And then right at the end, actually, the last day of our deadline, the last committee hearing, Representative O'Driscoll in the House said, "We'll hear your bill." Mm. And so they did get it heard. It didn't pass that year in the Senate. It did pass in the House. So then the next year we came back and went through it again in the House. They finally heard it in the Senate, and they passed it in the Senate. So it was a two-year process of getting that passed.
Is that normal, or is that just because I think a lot of the legislators needed to be educated on really what was going on and why this was needed?
I actually was very pleasantly surprised. I mean, I was a new legislator, so I didn't know exactly like how long did some of these bills. Some bills take years to get through. But I think this was such a compelling topic. And as you said, legislators didn't know anything about this. Mm-hmm. They didn't know about the historic violence against individuals in our Indigenous community, let alone the women and girls and the sex trafficking. And they just were horrified. I mean, there were legislators who were in tears at the end of a hearing, not just our Democrats, but our Republicans. And at the end of the day, we had 100% support both on both sides of the aisle for the task force that we eventually passed. And it was, you know, the fact that it was the first one in the nation, we led that by, and now, you know, many states now have their own task force, or I don't know of too many that have a permanent office. That was the other thing that we did is created that permanent office for missing and murdered Indigenous women. And then, of course, our license plate, which is so fantastic.
Well, and that was your idea. And then there was many license plates that came out, I believe, this year. And the MMIWR plate was the third place and accumulated a lot of money for the office.
Right. So a year ago in February is when we launched that license plate. And I'm wondering if you can see it. If you can see it, it's right. I got to do this. The very top one here. Yeah. It's got the MMIR emblem, and then it has a ribbon skirt on the side. So within the first year, there it is. Within the first year, it generated over $90,000 for the office. And at one point, it was the second most requested specialty license plate in Minnesota. And it's really exciting for me when I'm driving around and I see... I see that license plate and I honk when I go by and wave. Yeah. And I'm sure they're like, who the heck is that lady honking at me? But I got an idea from one of the folks at the MMIR office. And I have a few of those like kerchiefs for the MMIR office. And when I see a car parked with that license plate, you know, if I'm at the grocery store somewhere, I take one of those kerchiefs and I tuck it into the door handle.
Wow.
The door just says, like, thank you for doing that. And like my whole family now has the license plate. So when we're together, you look at, you know, the parking area and it's all the MMIR license plate, which is really great. And a lot of people have asked me, like, what is that? Or I've seen them stand by my car and they're looking at the license plate, like, what is that? And so, again, another opportunity to educate the public.
Yeah, it totally is fun to see that. I do that, and nine times out of 10, I do know the person. Mm-hmm. And mine says Land Back, LANDBK, which is very cool. I couldn't get Ho-Chunk. That had already been taken. And so that was very, very fun and cool. I got to ask in the last part of this here, and maybe we can bleed in if we have to into the next segment, but I know there's a lot of controversy about school funding, and especially with the parochial end. And if I asked 100 people, 99 of the people probably wouldn't know that we've been funding a little bit over the quite a few years parochial schools, and that kind of surprised me.
Yeah. You know, that's a hot topic this session, because Minnesota is in a bit of a really tight budget year. You know, we've received a lot of federal dollars for a while. Our tax revenue was up. So 2 years ago, when we had the surplus that didn't get passed the year before, on top of a couple of good years, we had some money to spend. And for about the last 50 years, Minnesota taxpayers have contributed towards transportation for non-public schools, as well as some of the services at the non-public schools. This year, because of our very tight budget, we had to make a lot of cuts in a lot of different areas in our state finance bill for education. And two of those areas were non-public transportation, as well as some of the student aid that we had been contributing to our non-public schools. And in Minnesota, and I think a lot of states, you know, our constitution says that our dollars don't go towards non-public schools. Tax dollars are for public schools. And so when the governor came out with his budget, he had those cuts in his budget. We carried those budgets in the Senate bill, and that's caused a lot of consternation.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. More details are emerging in the alleged U.S. Embassy bombing attempt in Tel Aviv. ABC's Stephanie Ramos tells us the suspect, Joseph Neumeier, a U.S.-German dual national, was there for weeks before the arrest.
Authorities say Neumeier arrived in Israel in April. He was deported to the U.S. and arrested by the FBI at JFK Airport this weekend. If convicted, he faces up to 20 years in prison.
A sixth inmate has now been captured in that brazen New Orleans jailbreak. 10 men escaping more than a week ago. 9 people have now been charged in connection with the escape. ABC's Trevor Ault.
Police in New Orleans releasing video taking 4 people into custody, one of them accused of assisting 2 escapees. An inmate, Trayvon Williams, is also accused of supplying a blanket and a shirt to help the escapees climb over the facility's razor wire fencing. The arrest warrant saying he entered the cell where the escapees had left the message too easy.
This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A big win at home for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers held on to a 3-2 win over the Boston Red Sox. Things got started early. Jackson Chourio in the leadoff spot, bottom of the first. And the first pitch to him on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Swing and a drive!
Chourio's first ever career leadoff home run and the first this season for the crew. Did that set the tone? Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it always sets a tone when you come out ready and the first hitter that you have kind of makes a statement.
And D.L. Hall making his first appearance since coming off the IL. Closer Trevor McGill on getting the win before a sold-out crowd of over 40,000.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stadium gets rocking when there's, you know, a bunch of people in it, and definitely felt that today. Thank you for the fans for coming out today.
That's the Brewers' Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All 4 cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and mild tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Cloudy tomorrow with a few showers, even some thunder, highs to the mid-60s. Slight shower chance Wednesday, high upper 60s. Heat returns to the area for the rest of the upcoming week. It's 67 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish of the great state of Minnesota, and really, really always happy to have you on and find out what's going on here locally, politically, and especially with the Native slant, so our audience can be caught up on that and all the great things you've done for your and our Native community. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. It was, we were really getting into the discussion around education in Minnesota. And the one thing I just want to remind folks is that, especially our Native communities, is that your kids are enrolled in public schools, and we have a responsibility from the federal level to educate our students. And so there are dollars that come down from the federal government to specifically address the unique needs, the cultural needs of our Native American kids. And so if your school has 10 or more students, that school is supposed to create a family advisory board of Native folks, and parents should be involved in that and in the discussion of how they're going to meet those unique cultural language needs for our students. And so I want to encourage parents to talk to your community or your schools about the American Indian Advisory Board at your school, and please participate in it, because you can make a difference for your students. And I think one thing that we're seeing here in Minnesota, Robert was just, you know, touting how great education Minnesota is, how great education in Minnesota is. And this week, they came out with the information about how Minnesota's graduation rate is the highest level on record. And which is, it's like, it's working. The stuff that we're doing to get our kids well-educated and graduated from high school is making a difference. And that gap between the student group are absolutely, it's shrinking. So 84.2% of the 2024 graduating classes overall graduated. And again, that's the highest graduation rate that Minnesota has ever recorded, which I think is absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, there are a few things that I would attribute to that. Here in Minnesota, we created a no-cost food program to feed our kids. So students can come in and they can receive a free breakfast and they can receive a no-cost lunch as well. And I really think there is a direct correlation to feeding our students and relieving the family of that financial burden, or just the burden of having the convenience of not having to make lunches and meals and that sort of thing. I think that has a direct correlation to this increase in our student graduation rates. You know, this is really good news, but we still are seeing, seeing a difference in the demographics by groups. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, our American Indian, the rate is, it's up. The 23 graduation rate was at 61.3% of our students. Wow. The 24 graduation is 62.9. So that is like a 4.5% from the years 2020 to 2024. Mm-hmm. So the last 4 years, that's increased 4.5%.
I do not, in my years of being a teacher, this is the highest I've ever heard it.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah.
And to back up what you were saying too, for 10 years I was on the family, the Native American Family Council in St. Paul Public Schools. So as a teacher representative, and you're absolutely right about that. You know, our percentage of students is so small, but we need to speak up for them And so it's a great, great opportunity. I have to just echo what you said, State Senator.
Yeah. And, you know, we have been working really intentionally. I and other leaders here in Minnesota have been working really intentionally around ensuring that those dollars are getting to our students for American Indian culture programs. And, you know, like we had to legislate that students can wear an eagle feather or plume in their graduation cap. We had to legislate that they could wear their sacred tobacco pouches in school. St. Paul led in the effort to ensure that there's space in the schools to smudge. And we saw that really makes a positive effect in our students. And I think a lot of these things, removing, you know, unfavorable mascots that depict our American Indians in, you know, derogatory ways. I think all of those things really have contributed to this growth in graduation rates. And then not only are students graduating, they're going on to other, you know, to colleges or trade schools. Those opportunities are being really, you know, we're trying to inform the families and the students, like, here are your opportunities. Please don't take them for granted. Of course, we have the Red Lake College now here in the Twin Cities, which I think is just incredible that we have a rural American Indian college. We've got some legislation around helping them out. And so this growing awareness of lack of resources in so many different ways is really tipping the scale, not just for our students, but for our Native communities.
You know, I just got to jump back too. I was kind of a rebel for years. I'd have students come into my classroom and smudge if they needed to. And it was, I just have to amplify what you said. It's so important that it's a place, if nothing else, to take a deep breath, a sigh if something's going on personally or conflict with another student or a teacher, just to take that time to reflect. Yeah. And smudge off.
Yeah, I think having a safe place to reset in that way is really important. But in hearing from the districts that are doing that and from the American Indian education folks, it's not just the Native kids that are doing that.
Right.
There are non-Native kids that ask, can I go in and smudge? Or whole classes taking a moment to just, you know, recenter yourself, reevaluate where you're going today or in this moment, and it's having really positive effects.
Absolutely. And, you know, not to get sidetracked on this, but because I want to ask you about how, you know, you felt with the happenings in Minneapolis too, with the murders and just the safety of our community and prayers out to all those families, especially. I want to talk about that in a second, but I just, you know, the smudging off and doing things like that are so, so important for people to claim who they are. And I just working on what may appear to some of our listeners as a small thing is a really, really big thing.
It is. And I apparently we need more of that out in the general population as well. I think you're spot on. You know, there were what, 5 homicides this early this week, where they left 4 people dead and 5 people dead and a seriously injured individual. And anytime that happens, it's such a heartbreak for the community in the fact, not just that we lost some really unique young kids, the fact that there's some of this gang activity that's going on that unfortunately draws oftentimes folks that are good people into bad situations. And I just want to say to those families, not only of those that, that lost their life or injured, but also the gang members, that this, we have to be taking care of each other. We can't turn on each other, because that's been the way forever and ever. You know, it's the plan is to have been like divide and conquer, right?
Right.
Each other against each other, and basically eliminate each other. And I just find it in this day and age so heartbreaking when we are trying to do so many good things, and really good things are happening in Indian country, and then we have something as painful as these shootings. So again, my heart and my thoughts go out to those families and to the communities, and hoping that this is not going to be repeated anytime soon.
Yeah, it's really important. I think some of the people have said, and you kind of touched on it too, is that, you know, we have a community that's hurting, but prior to this has been hurting too, and mm-hmm. in different parts of our community. And we just have to be, as Native Americans, open to everybody and help everybody that needs help, and do things like that, and reach out to the young ones too, big time. And you're a former teacher and media specialist, so you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's true. We have to, it's really important that we just wrap our arms around these kids and these adults that are struggling. And, you know, we have that large urban population here in Minnesota, a large homeless population here in Minnesota, folks that are struggling with mental health issues, addiction issues, homelessness. And those are the ones that are the most vulnerable in our communities when it comes to these sort of issues. And so we will continue at the state legislature to look for ways that we can support those that need it the most. And again, let's hope that this is the end of that kind of violence.
Right on. Thank you so much, State Senator Mary Kunish. And thank you so much for all you do for the community and nationally. I know you travel all over the country too. And it's every remind everyone, she has a part-time job, or she gets paid as a part-time person that's full-time. So again, appreciate you, and appreciate you coming on every week and sharing with our audience. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Have a good weekend, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all those mothers and all those people that mother our children and our adults. Thank you.
Good one. Hey, we'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
The Council on LGBTQIA2S+ Minnesotans is conducting a community need survey. Two-Spirit and Native queer voices are sacred and must be heard. Your experiences will guide programs and policies that support our relatives across Minnesota. The survey is confidential and available at mnqt.info/survey. The deadline is May 31st. Honor your story. Help build the future we deserve.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
Hey, we are here with Wendy, and we love talking about our sacred animals. And this is Wendy Pilot with our sacred animal portion. And I just want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife. Take it away, Wendy.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Haley, our producer, sent me an article, which I'm thankful for. Thank you, Haley, for sending me this. And this is from CARE 11. It's a news station here in Minnesota, in St. Paul. And this is dated May 7th, 2025. Here we go. Yellowstone National Park, Wyoming. A man was injured in Yellowstone National Park when he was gored by a bison, the National Park Service NPS said on Wednesday. So this is happens every year, Robert, right? This happens, and this is the first one. So this is the first one.
This year.
Yeah. It was the first reported incident of a person injured by a Yellowstone bison this year and happened only 2 weeks after the park opened entrances for the season. Let's see here. The park said bison have injured more people in Yellowstone than any other animal. Officials said bison are not aggressive animals, but will defend their space when threatened, are unpredictable, and can run three times faster than humans. When we talked about this last week, I read that they could run up to 35 miles an hour. This is crazy.
So does that mean they run four times faster than me?
I think they're saying that I guess a human could run 10 miles an hour. How fast can a human run? I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
What fast ones can do a 4-minute mile.
I know. So the incident happened around 3:15 p.m. Sunday in Lake Village area of the park. A 47-year-old man from Cape Coral, Florida, was gored when he got too close to the bison, NPS said in a news release. The man sustained minor injuries and was treated by emergency medical personnel. NPS said the incident is under investigation. Yellowstone requires people to keep at least 25 yards away from all large animals, including bison, elk, deer, and moose, and at least 100 yards away from bears and wolves. Two incidents of bison goring were reported at Yellowstone in 2024 and one in 2023. I thought that there were more than that. But, you know, in May of 2024, a man kicked a bison in the leg and was hurt by one of the animals. The man was arrested and jailed after he was treated for minor injuries. Let's see here. I have a little bit more. I just lost my space. But yeah, so we really have to, you know, be careful about these bison. It's just nuts. I also wanted to talk about a really funny article. This is from April 24, 2023, so it's a little bit older, but it's still really fun, and I wanted to talk to you guys about it. So scientists taught pet parrots to video call each other, and the birds loved it. Yeah, how cute is this? This is an article. This is from Smithsonian Magazine, and it's by Sarah Kuda, who is a daily correspondent. And she writes, when humans are feeling lonely, we can call or video chat friends and family who live far away. But scientists asked, what about pet parrots? New research suggests that these chatty creatures may also benefit from virtually connecting with their peers. Domesticated parrots that learned to initiate video calls with other pet parrots had a variety of positive experiences, such as learning new skills. Researchers from the Northeastern University The University of Glasgow and MIT report this in the proceedings of a 2023 conference on human factors in computing systems. Yeah. Quote, "She came alive during the call," one pet parent said about their bird, according to the Northeastern University statement. The idea for this study was not random. In the wild, parrots tend to live in large flocks, but when kept in captivity, such as in people's homes as pets, their social birds are often on their own, feeling bored and isolated. They may develop psychological issues and can even resort to self-harming tendencies like plucking out their feathers.
Oh.
Yeah, lonely parrots are unhappy parrots. So researchers set out to find a way for some of the estimated 20 million pet birds living in the United States to connect with each other. They recruited volunteers from Parrot Kindergarten, an online training program for the parrot owners and their beloved pets. During the first 2 weeks of the study, owners taught their birds to ring a bell, then touch an image of another pet parrot on a tablet screen to initiate a video call. In this initial phase, the participating birds made 212 video calls while their owners carefully monitored their behaviors. Owners terminated calls as soon as the birds stopped paying attention to the screen or cap their duration at 5 minutes. Yeah. Though 18 parrots began the experiment, 3 dropped out.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't say why, but they dropped out. Once the birds... What's that?
A lot of people don't like to Zoom.
Maybe the birds didn't like to Zoom. Once the birds had learned how to initiate video interactions, the second phase of the experiment could begin. In this open call period, the 15 participating birds could make calls freely. They also got to choose which bird to dial up. Over the next 2 months, pet parrots made 147 deliberate video calls to other birds. Their owners took detailed notes about the calls and recorded more than 1,000 hours of video footage that the researchers analyzed.
Hmm.
Yeah, for starters, they found that parrots took advantage of the opportunity to call one another, and they typically stayed on the call for the maximum time allowed during the experiment. Huh. They also seemed to understand that it was a live bird on the other side of the screen and not a recorded bird. So the birds understood that.
Wow.
Yeah, researchers said. So some of the parrots learned new skills from their virtual companions, including flying, foraging, and how to make new sounds. Quote, "I was quite surprised at the range of different behaviors," co-author Elena Hertzky Douglas, an animal computer interaction researcher at the university, tells The Guardian. "Some would sing, some would play around and go upside down, others would want to show another bird their toys."
Ooh.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
Two week older macaws, for example, became very close and even called out to one another, "Hi, come here, hello." From their respective screens. Yeah, the birds forge strong friendships with researchers measured by how frequent they chose to call the same individual.
Cool.
Yeah, parrots who initiated the highest number of video calls also received the most calls, which suggests a reciprocal dynamic similar to human socialization, per the statement. The experiment also brought parrots and humans closer together on both sides of the screen. Some birds were even reported to have developed attachments to the human caretakers of their virtual friends. Aww. Yeah, isn't this so cute? They sing.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list, and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes
together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Louisiana State Police now say 8 inmates from that bold New Orleans jailbreak have been captured. The most recent 2 were caught in Walker County, Texas, by the Texas Department of Public Safety. 2 remain on the loose after 10 men escaped more than a week ago. A fertility clinic that was bombed in Palm Springs, California last week will reopen tomorrow.
When the car bomb went off last week, killing the bomber, it gutted the American Reproductive Center. This center will be reopening in a temporary building in the same plaza on Tuesday. They expect to move tanks with thousands of eggs and embryos into the new office. 25-year-old Guy Bartkus died in the bombing. He left writings indicating he was against any kind of procreation and populating the world. Alex Stone, EBC News.
Sweden-based Volvo Cars is eliminating 3,000 positions as part of a cost-cutting program as the auto industry faces trade tensions and economic uncertainty. Most of the cuts would be among workers in Sweden. This is ABC News.